This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Who you got tonight between the Clips and the Suns? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Well, I got so many calls last hour. I may be all called out. I don't know. Every segment, just one phone call after another. Maybe I'll take a few more at some point. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
Lob for Capella, makes the catch in traffic and drops it through. And then runs into Giannis. Both go tumbling down.
Chris Middleton has to step up in the absence of Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got to show up like you showed out the other night in Game 3.
Here's a dirty little secret. Middleton had to step up before Antetokounmpo got hurt. Before Giannis got hurt, he needed to step up. A great big needs a dude on his level. On the nights that Middleton is on Giannis's level, they win. On the nights he's not, they lose, period. That's why it's not a big three in Milwaukee. Too many nights, like, Middleton is always, is usually good, sometimes great. That's why he usually doesn't make the all-star teams, sometimes he does. He's been on two. Same thing with Holiday, he's been on one all-star team. Because he's usually good, sometimes great. But he's not usually great. That's why, had the Nets been healthy, they would have... I mean, what they were doing to the Bucks should have been... like, you could bring them up on charges, what the Nets were doing to the Bucks. They should have been tried in criminal court. That was a criminal act, what they were doing to the Bucks, and that was without Harden. Oh, God forbid they were fully healthy. Because Harden and Kyrie are always... you know, they're usually great. That's why they're usually MVPs. Or MVP-caliber players. Harden, at least, and Kyrie's always an all-star. Hey, Middleton and Drew Holiday. Middleton's got to step. That's why he was the most important player in the series, really. Because if he can give you four great nights out of seven, if the series goes seven, the Bucks can win. And if he can't, they can't. That's how it is. Anyway, Mike Budenholzer, I'll tell you what. He's a good coach. There's no two ways about it. His teams win a lot of games in the regular season. You know, like, I'll take a guy like D'Antoni and defend him and say, look, Mike D'Antoni gets teams much farther than they ought to go, gives them a much better chance to win. And then if they don't win, everyone looks at D'Antoni. You guys wouldn't be near where you are without D'Antoni in Houston. They're in a Game 7 at home against the mighty Warriors with a team half as good. How's that possible? Mike D'Antoni. Right? Same thing with the Suns. The Suns had a nice team back then, but they're a little brawl away, some ejections away from winning the championship the year against the Spurs. Oh, D'Antoni can't win. Actually, D'Antoni gets you closer than you ought to get. Budenholzer is not that guy. Budenholzer is the dude who is really good in the regular season and not good in the playoffs. His teams, I've seen it too many times, underperform in the playoffs. The only reason the Bucks are this far, the only reason, is because the Nets got hurt. That's it. That's why they're here. If the Nets would have been healthy, a sweep. And it would have been one of the most brutal, humiliating sweeps ever. Think of the first two games. I mean, they almost lost anyway. Kevin Durant airballed to three in overtime of Game 7. It wasn't up to the Bucks. It wasn't like they had that shot defended. If KD just hits the shot, Bucks lose. That was for the win. So they got a little lucky, too. Here's, and Budenholzer, I mean, if I'm the Bucks, I'm looking at Budenholzer. Here he is on the status of Giannis and rebounding after the loss.
He's in the locker room with the guys and just addressed the group, and you know, but nothing, you know, above and beyond, or, you know, we'll see how he is tomorrow. Yeah, you know, I mean, they had a lot of guys play well tonight, you know, for really the whole game. So, you know, credit to Atlanta. They played well from the start. They played well coming off the, you know, the injury. You know, so we got to be better on both ends. You know, our group will gather. Our group, the character of it will come through. And we're going home. It's 2-2. We're going back to Milwaukee.
Well, that's really an inspirational speech from Coach, don't you think? It's just some guys have a way of talking to you. Just get you going. I want to run through a brick wall. We're just going to get, I guess, it's going to be tough. Wonder if those guys are pretty good at basketball over there. I don't know. You know, like, just going to do what we've been doing all regular season, only do it harder. I guess. I don't know. Pray for us. You know that? What? Coach, what are you talking about? Kawhi Leonard, meantime, over in the Western Conference, Kawhi Leonard is going to miss his eighth straight game. Been ruled out for Game 6. Phoenix and the Clips tonight, 9 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Radio. What have I been saying about Ty Lue? The best coach in the NBA. For my money, the best coach in the NBA. If I had a team, I want him to be the coach. His, like, the reason, well, why are his teams falling down in playoff series? Why are they coming back? Like, you know, they're falling down like the Cavs did against the Warriors. The Warriors are better than them. Ty Lue is watching you, studying you, making the right adjustments, and then beating you. It's what, you know, Pernell Whitaker or Floyd Mayweather would do. Counterpunchers. Dudes who study, got it. Now execute the game plan. He makes the best adjustments because he seems to see deepest into the game. And by deepest, I mean not only the X's and O's and the in-game and in-series adjustments, but also the players' personalities. He's the guy I want. There are great choices in the NBA. He's the guy I'd take. I mean, how many times can you be down in the same playoffs or in the same career? 0-2, 3-1, 1-3 as it is, and come back. His teams keep doing it. Now, Paul George is a big reason why. He's been great recently. And he has a big chance to change the narrative, as they say, in these playoffs. Because he's been a playoff choker in the past, and by that I mean he is normally a lesser version of himself when you need him the most. He's normally an all-star plus. You know, five stars is an MVP, four stars is an all-star, three is a starter, two is a rotation piece, one is a replacement-level player. Paul George is usually a 4.5-star player, more than just an all-star. Really great two-way player, can create his own offense, can be a facilitator when called on, great defender, can shoot, can get to the basket, can shoot free throws, can shoot threes, can shoot a mid-range, can do everything. Great player, and he's 6'8". But when you need him most, he hasn't been there, usually, until these playoffs. In Kawhi's absence, he has really stepped up and has played some great basketball, and he's had a crime partner in Reggie Jackson. I'm going to get to that in a second. Here's my dude, Richard Jefferson, ESPN NBA analyst on 6 p.m. Sports Center, on Paul George and the chance that he can bring the Clippers all the way back from down 3-1.
This version of Paul George that you are seeing right now, this is the Indiana Paul George. This is the Paul George that would take the Miami Heat with LeBron James and D-Wade all the way to a game 7. He knows how to be a leader. He knows how to go out and get 30 a night. This guy has been having one of the best postseasons that we have seen in recent history with his consistency. So it's all about the formula. You go back home, you win one, and then you come back and anything can happen in game 7. That's the formula that they're following, and they're not focused on the whole picture, but one game at a time.
Well, I mean, look, Paul George has had an excellent playoffs. I would not say one of the best in recent memory. I would not. I mean, Kawhi with Toronto was clearly better than this Paul George, and that was recent. LeBron last year was better, and NAD was better than this Paul George. These are just guys I'm picking from right, like very recent history. But this Paul George is excellent. I don't mean to diminish it. And he's doing this without Kawhi. With Kawhi, the series would be over already. Kawhi's not one of these dudes where it's like, well, the dynamic has changed, and no, Kawhi would be balling. With Kawhi, the series is already over. Has Paul George changed the narrative? I'd say I've been banging that drum about Paul George being a choker, being a guy who's less good than he normally is when you need him most, louder than anyone else. And I will tell you, no, he has not changed it. However, Rome wasn't built in a day. You don't change it with one performance. He has a chance to change it in these playoffs. If he continues doing this, if Kawhi doesn't play and he even gets them to a game 7 and the Clippers wind up winning the championship, Paul George would have erased, not erased, you never erase, those things count, but counterbalanced the times he's been less than himself. And if someone wants to point to those, you can always point to this and say, wait a minute, sometimes he was less than himself, sometimes he was more, sometimes he was better than you anticipated. And it comes out in the wash, and he has a chance to build on that if that happens this year and go down in history as actually a clutch player in the playoffs. It's possible. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, you're 100% right. Tonight's ball game is about legacy in two distinct ways. First of all, for Ty Lue, if he's able to get the Clippers to a game...
Uh-oh. Some got cosmically censored just then. I don't know. Oh, well, look at this. Mike Tannenbaum is right there. And in the nick of time, on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, front office insider. Mike!
Good afternoon, Max. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. I've been told, don't just yell someone's name. And I can't help it. That's what I do. I just yell the name of the person. I think they're going to say, hey, Max. But usually you're sitting there going, when you hear me go, Mike, you're like, yeah, what the hell does this guy want from me? Okay, look, Mike, do you think, I've this is what I've heard, okay? People like Mike Tannenbaum think the Cowboys are going to reach the NFC Championship this year. Is this the case?
Yeah, I like them a lot. I'm bullish, and Greeny's been very upset with me on GetUp, but they're getting three offensive linemen back, and I think that's really important in terms of how we assess them. These are three, in Zach Martin, Lael Collins, and Tyron Smith, three really good, effective offensive linemen. So if healthy, if Dak obviously is healthy, Max, I think they have a chance to be really good.
Yeah, but people have been calling Reggie Jackson in the NBA because the original Reggie Jackson in Major League Baseball was Mr. October. He shined in the playoffs in the World Series. And this Reggie Jackson in these playoffs so far is Mr. June. And I've been saying he needs to be Mr. July for the Clippers to win a championship, right? That's what the Cowboys are. You know, people who – Mike, I'm surprised at you. People who call for the Cowboys to do great are Mr. Junes. You're a Mr. June? Every June, people think the Cowboys are going to do so great. How come they never do?
Yeah, it's totally fair. You know, last year, obviously, we could chalk it up to, you know, a significant injury. But I think if healthy, Dak Prescott has a chance to be one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. And, again, they're getting back three offensive linemen. They have two – bonafide frontline receivers in CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, not to mention Michael Gallup. And defensively, I'm a big believer in Dan Quinn, plus they drafted five consecutive defensive players.
Yeah, meantime, do you think the offensive line has a chance to get back to what they were before all the injuries?
You know, Max, even if they're a B+, it's so much better than what they had last year that we're going to see such an improvement. And I think one of the things we talked about today, too, was this whole idea, Max, of you need to pass the score and run to win. So if they could come out on opening day, Thursday night against Tampa Bay, place will be rocking. And if they're fortunate to get a lead in the fourth quarter, the best way to beat Tom Brady is to play keep away. And that's when you give the ball to Zeke Elliott. So to me, they have a chance to pass the score and run to win.
It's interesting to me, Mike. I couldn't disagree more. I think the Cowboys are coming in third in the NFC East. I think the Giants are the best balanced team, both sides of the ball. I think the Washington defense is excellent, although, you know, Fitzpatrick is what he is. And Dallas, who knows? Like, yeah, they drafted defense, but, Mike, their defense was god-awful last year. And, by the way, when last seen healthy on the field, Dak Prescott was a 500 quarterback. And that offense was looked a little better on paper than it did in reality, like a lot of passing yards because they're playing from behind in games. You know, like I just don't – look, the thing that caught my eye or my ear was you saying top five quarterback in the league. I guess Deshaun Watson, I would assume not playing this year because of all the off-the-field problems. But there's Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to start. There's Russell Wilson. There are guys like Josh Allen or Justin Herbert, who is amazing as a rookie. You think top five? Who gets knocked out of the top five?
Yeah, I think you have Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady. You know, those three to me are like the non-negotiables. And
right.
Then you get into the next group of the Josh Allens, like you said. Obviously, if we don't know about Watson, but certainly Russell Wilson, hopefully Herbert will continue to improve. But I think, again, if healthy – with that offensive line, I think Dak's in that conversation. So he's somewhere, you know, in my opinion, 4-6, 4-7, somewhere in there. This is a team that could be complete. Now, I think their pass rush will be slow somewhat to develop. But when you look at guys like Micah Parsons, Kelvin Joseph, we drafted another three defensive players in the third round. There's a couple of young corners I liked. I don't think they're going to be perfect defensively, but I do think Dak's ceiling is high enough, especially athletically, if he can come back healthy, Max, where this team could be dangerous on offense and good enough defensively.
Before I get on with Mike Tannenbaum here, ESPN front office insider, of course, to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, one last question about the Cowboys. The Mike McCarthy hire, to me, Mike, was the typical Jerry Jones hire in the sense that, like, who can we get with gravitas to keep people off our back, but also not enough to stand up to me, so I still get the credit, right? And they pick Mike McCarthy, who got the job. Apparently, they were selling it because now I understand analytics. Before, I hated numbers, and now I went to MIT somehow. And you know, the guy, the game seemed to have passed him by. He couldn't coach Aaron freaking Rodgers, right? And so, like, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, and once upon a time, he won a Super Bowl. But is he a good coach? Is he a kind of NFC championship game caliber coach still, do you think?
Well, you know, he's 1-1, and that has to count for something. So I was disappointed how they played last year. You know, they put the blame squarely at the feet of Mike Nolan. And this is an important year for Mike McCarthy. There's no doubt about it. He needs to have a very significant year, but it starts at the quarterback position. And somewhat ironic, if you go back to 2015, Dan Quinn replaced Mike Nolan. Now, Mike Nolan was a defensive coordinator of the Falcons. Dan Quinn went there. Head coach, took the team to the Super Bowl, and now you move the story forward 6 years later. Ironically, Max, new defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, is Dan Quinn, replacing none other than Mike Nolan.
Aaron Rodgers, what are your latest thoughts on Rodgers showing up to camp with the Packers?
I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen is he's going to play reluctantly for Green Bay, and maybe the most likely or hopeful compromise is they may be chop off the last 2 years of his contract and they at least get one more year out of him. But I think at some point Rodgers has to realize, well, I may not show up to camp on time. If I want to play football this year, it's going to be with Green Bay.
You know, I've heard from a source that's never been right one time. Literally never. The source told me a bunch of stuff, would seem to know, and has never been right one time, that he's going to opt out. So maybe that means, in fact, that you're right. Great Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Baker Mayfield, you know, number one overall pick, looked to me like the most damning thing I heard about him was from Ryan Clark on First Take one day. He was early on saying, like, he just is what he is. He's okay. He's average. And that was kind of, like, heartbreaking about a guy that people were hoping could be great, right? And I agreed. Like, that, what was sad about it was, like, I agreed. Baker's fine. He's okay. And you thought, right, Baker's sort of replaceable. But I got to tell you, Mike, especially in that game against Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson came out of the locker room and won the game, but Baker Mayfield, with a game on the line, marched his team right down the field and scored. He had a great offensive line. It promises to be excellent this year as well. He has receiving options and a running game and a defense. And yet I do think he gives you, I don't think that he's just replacement level. To me, he seems like above average starter at this point. Where are you on Baker right now?
I think that's right. I think above average starter is about right, Max. He has physical limitations. He's short and slow, and he could still have a productive NFL career with great anticipation and great accuracy, much the way we saw it with Drew Brees, or even candidly someone like Russell Wilson, who has amazing sort of, like, body mechanics and has great flexibility. But for Baker, he can't escape pressure the way Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen can. So everything has to be perfect for him. You think about the Brees run in New Orleans. They had a great firm pocket for years. Like, the guards in the center were strong and stout and allowed Brees to climb the pocket to make the throws. And that's what's going to happen for Baker, is he's going to have to climb the pocket because it's physics, Max. He came out, he ran 4.85. He can't outrun good defensive linemen. So if I'm the Browns, I have a good quarterback. I don't have a great one. And I have to make sure that I pay him accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, the Baker thing, you're right in the sense that Drew Brees had a freakish athletic ability. And he was the most precise passer. So if you're not big enough and you're not fast enough, you have to do something freakishly well, read defenses incredibly quickly, be incredibly accurate. And while Baker Mayfield can do those things, he can't do it on an incredible level. It's a good point. Mike Tannenbaum makes a lot of good points. Mike, thank you for coming on, as always. Mike Tannenbaum.
Thanks, Max. Really appreciate you having me.
Thank you, brother. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL insider analyst, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. L.A., have we seen the last of LeBron in the Olympics? No doubt coming up. If you're a business owner who's hiring. It can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. When you post this job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you, and they invite them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, no doubt. Next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. What do we got today?
All right, Max. Well, first, I want you to take a listen to Jerry Colangelo, who, of course, is the managing director of USA Basketball. He was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zub this morning.
I would think so. Father Time takes its toll. And you guys know that because if you're a human being, your body is built to go so long, depending on what your sport is. And then it's a downhill situation. And LeBron made choices these last couple of Olympics not to participate because he's got a lot of things going on in his life. And so he put in his time. He made a contribution that is appreciated. But I think his time is over.
Okay, of course, he was talking about he's talking about the likelihood of LeBron being on the Olympic team. So, Max, we've seen the last of LeBron James on and in the Olympics.
No doubt. He's old, man. And the Olympics, look, I'm very patriotic. I want America to win all the time in the Olympics. The fact of the matter is, and the Olympics are supposed to bring the world together and everything, you have awful governments and terrible countries involved in the Olympics that legitimizes them in a certain way. You have an event, a worldwide event, where every athlete dreams of winning the gold for their country and everyone's getting paid except for the athletes. I mean, that's changed in recent years, but in a way, it's, you know, you're kind of conning the athletes. Now, I understand if they want to win one. Right, win a gold medal. They want to check that off the bucket list. Or if you know you're feeling patriotic and you're like, oh man, we just lost in the last Olympics. We got to do something. But man, LeBron's done all that already. What's he got to keep playing? He's 100 years old.
Yeah, I heard that. That's a good point.
Hey, we got a birthday in the house, Max. You know we love that. Mike Tyson turns 55 today. Double nickels. Hey, Max, you want to see Tyson in the ring again?
No doubt. And I'm not proud of that, Raj. I'm not proud of it. You know, boxing's basically exploitation. And I never thought Mike would live to see 55. I even told him that. Like, you know, I'm
neither did
proud,
he.
Proud is a weird, you know, kind of condescending word to use sometimes, especially if someone older than you. But how else do you feel? I'm so happy for him that he's gone on to be so productive in his life and do such interesting things. Like, his podcast is amazing. Do interesting things with his life and not just survive, but thrive. But man, you know, and even in the thing with Roy Jones, you put Mike in with the right guy, like another older guy around his size. Ding, ding, round one. Mike Tyson's fighting. Who's not watching that?
I heard that. Hey, Max. The Luka and Porzingis duo will be split up this year.
No doubt, if they can find a taker for Porzingis. Porzingis is a very good player. But injuries, it's a killer. There's no reliability there. I don't blame Porzingis. He's 7'2" or 7'3". You know, like that guy's that size. He's a giant. Their bodies are not like everyone else's. The human body wasn't supposed to be that big. And so he has problems staying healthy. And it's hard to game plan a season and a playoffs around a guy where you know he's going to get hurt. The question is when. And it's going to affect his development. So besides the off-the-court or the stuff you hear and has been reported, they're like kind of at loggerheads. Luka, Porzingis and Luka, and sometimes they don't get along and this and that. I really think it has more to do with Porzingis' availability due to injury. And I do think they're going to move him if they can get a deal for him.
Okay. Hey, you know, it's National Social Media Day. That's right, Max. Max has embraced social media.
Nah, son. I can't say I quite embraced it. Here's the it's like I recognize its importance, right? and it's a powerful tool, and I use it to consume media a lot. Producing it on social media, I'm still getting used to. I'm still getting used to it. Like, and probably that's because I have platforms to say what I want to say. You know, if I wasn't on TV or the radio, I probably would be prolific on social media because, like, you know, I got things to say. But I don't know. I'm sitting in front of a microphone and a camera all day. I get my opinions out. Yeah.
Tell me the difference between a post and a story on Instagram.
On Instagram, a post is up there until you take it down, and a story is there for 24 hours.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, you all right?
Look at me. I'm on fire today. What else? Give me another one. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Let's see if Dre can finish this.
Max, just wanted to touch base again on the question of legacy. I said what I had to say about Ty Lue in terms of us deconstructing the history from the Cleveland years based on his success now with the Clippers. But in Chris Paul's case, if he's not able to break through this year, Max, then we're going to have to go back to when you were a Knicks fan in the early 90s. I'm talking specifically 93. We know what happened with Charles Smith. But more importantly, 94 and 95, when Patrick Ewing didn't win those NBA championships and never had another opportunity. And that really impacted his legacy.
Well, except you're right. You're right about that, but it's worse than that. Because Patrick Ewing was never considered the best center in the game. People usually considered Olajuwon better, and it was close between Ewing and Robinson. I'm just talking about perception back then. And he was never considered the way Shaq was considered when Shaq came along, which is a little bit later. Or he was in the league already. But like as a rookie, everyone would rather have had Shaq, who couldn't shoot, than Patrick Ewing, who could. Right? And it's not because Patrick wasn't great. When Patrick lost to Hakeem, he did not play well offensively. Defensively, he played very well. Hakeem was getting his because he was unstoppable. Ewing had like 6 blocks in game 6 or 7. Like, he could play. But Hakeem was just the best, and Hakeem beat Patrick by the skin of his teeth. Game 6, you know, John Starks takes a 3 to win the game, and Hakeem gets his fingertip on it. Maybe the series ends then. In game 7, Starks went incredibly cold, and so the Rockets won, but it went to a game 7. Chris Paul is different. Chris Paul... You know, like, this would be as though the Knicks were on fire back then until Ewing played, and then they didn't play as well. And everyone else in the league was hurt. Olajuwon wasn't playing, right? Like, the following year, 95. Let's say Olajuwon wasn't playing, and they only had Drexler playing, and Patrick Ewing still couldn't get it done. That's what this is like. This is worse than anything Patrick Ewing ever experienced. This will hurt Chris Paul more than that, should he fail to win 3-1. And by the way, they built that lead without him. It would be off devastating for Chris Paul. No one would ever call him a top 5 point guard. Stephen A. put him on a list. If he wins a championship, top 5 point guard of all time. I agree. But if he doesn't, oh, he'll be behind a bunch of guys. Coming up, last take is your take. I just had to take Andre from Massachusetts' call just to show you I mean business. I'm taking calls coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The NBA Western Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 6 as the Clippers host the Suns. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Last take coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. About to get to your calls on Last Take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
I'm going to get to your Last Take. Let me just say that Chris Paul, legacy on the line. Like, in the end, how can a legacy come down to one game or two games? In the end, eventually, there are very high leverage moments that will, because you have a body of work that can be interpreted negatively in the playoffs, Chris Paul has had too many experiences where his team collapses. That in the best chance he's likely ever to have to win a championship, with the other team's best player absent, with his own team playing better without him than with him, if he loses, it's going to crush him. If he wins, however, hey, maybe if he'd been healthy for Game 7 on the James Harden Rockets team against those Warriors, maybe they would have won that game and that series. Maybe his team's collapsed not because of him, but because who was his coach? Doc Rivers has a history of that himself. Chris Paul, top 5 point guard of all time? Got to win this series to get there. If he loses, Is he top 10? Richard in Manhattan. We've heard from Andre in Massachusetts. What would it be without hearing from Richard in Manhattan? What's up, Richard?
Max, a final would be Milwaukee-Phoenix. They came in together 53 years ago. Phoenix got screwed. They had the coin flip the next year. Milwaukee got Lou Alcindor, and Phoenix had nothing but frustration. Now, you've been having on the radio the Jerry Colangelo. His father was the founder of the Phoenix Suns, so it'd be poetic justice that Phoenix wins this championship because they've never won one. They lost out on Lou Alcindor, and a great family like the Colangelos who's been great for the NBA, been great for the USA basketball, great for the Olympics.
Well,
and
the only thing, Richard, the only thing is Colangelo, you know, look, because they bring in Colangelo to Colangelo's kid to GM the Sixers because they didn't like the fact that the process was working. Not that it wasn't working, but that it was, and they'd get copycats. And he had all this draft capital built up, and not only did he use it incorrectly, plainly, but he also had burner accounts and all kinds of nonsense, and it is a mixed bag. The Colangelo's in the NBA, better with Team USA, but a mixed bag in the NBA. I'll also say this: Atlanta, as a sports town, think of how many great franchises and huge stars Atlanta's had, and they only have one championship in any of the sports, all the sports, one championship, and it was the Atlanta Braves, who should have won like five, right? They got one, and it was in 1995, which, don't forget, 94 is a strike year, no World Series. The next year was a truncated year. They played something like 10 or 15 games fewer than they had played. It was like a little bit, you know, and that's the only one they ever won. The Braves won that one in 95, in spite of being favored in many World Series. Hawks never won one. Falcons never won one. Man, if the Atlanta Hawks won one, that would be so big for Atlanta. Brian and Callie, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, thanks for taking my call, man. Big fan of yours. Been watching you for a long time. I got a fighting question, if I may, sir.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm a diehard MMA fan, and I love boxing. I'm a casual boxing fan. What I want to know is, and I'm sure you've answered this on your show, Max, on boxing. I love your show.
Thanks.
What I want to know is, to get more fans into boxing, you know, can you see them ever doing away with all of the weight classes, just going one, you know, one belt for one weight class?
No, you know, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And the issue is, when I was a kid, I used to think, get rid of the weight classes. How do you get rid of them? Like, this is an issue of perception. There's WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO. They're perceived by the boxing public as more legitimate than the others because there are lots of sanctioning bodies. There's no way to get rid of them. You can't stop them from existing. And you have to convince fans that they're not legitimate, except that they're useful to networks and promoters. Because in the short run, you can build a fight as really bigger than it is. This is a title fight. No, it's not. It's the champion's the fourth best fighter in the division, and his number one contender is the 11th best fighter in the division. How is this a championship fight? Right? It doesn't prove he's the best in the weight class. In fact, there are sanctioning bodies that when a guy unifies titles, they say, well, now he can't fulfill his mandatories for us because he has all these mandatories and all these different sanctioning bodies and he unified. So we're going to strip him of our quote-unquote regular belt, make him our super champion, and now give someone else the regular title. Meaning, according to that same sanctioning body, their so-called champion is at best the second best fighter in the division. It's a mess. No, you can't get rid of them. What you can do is work to promote the idea that one organization is more legitimate than the others, right? That's like in college football, the national champion, as opposed to the winner of whatever whatever bowl that they've invented. It's the best you can do. It's not like MMA, where the UFC is perceived by the public, at least the American public, as the sanctioning body, as the, not sanctioning, or promotional outfit, as the major leagues. Lots of football leagues, but Goodell is in charge of the NFL. Lots of baseball leagues, lots of basketball leagues, the NBA, Major League Baseball, their commissioner, Adam Silver, that's the boss because there are other leagues with commissioners, but he's the boss of basketball, right? Dana White, he's in charge of UFC, so MMA, because UFC is synonymous with MMA, the brand name. There's nothing like that in boxing, and that's really, actually, I think, what boxing needs. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What an episode we had today. Oh, the calls that I got to, Raj. The whole show was basically calls. Until the last segment, I didn't get to a lot of calls. But before,
I mean, that, I don't know if they should pay you for today because the callers did all the work.
The biggest game in CP3's career so far tonight. And if they lose, Game 7 will be the biggest game in his career. What a legacy-defining moment. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shenan Golick Jr. coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.